for it is time for preaching, and we have had such a great service thus far. We thank you for the communion of the saints, and we thank you for the food that was prepared. We just thank you for the hearts and minds of each and every individual in both churches, Lord God, families and friends and neighbors, as we celebrate this this day of pastoral celebration. Lord God, we thank you for the 9 years that we're looking at, Father God, but we still believe that the best is yet to come. And so now this is just a man that you have called today to stand behind the sacred desk. We ask now that you hide me behind the cross. We allow your word to come forth with power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I was going to, how would we say, clergy it up. But I realized when you're serving, sometimes the attire needs to fit how you're serving. And how you're serving is if you're just letting God have his way. Amen. It's not necessarily what you got on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And so when we are clothed in righteousness, amen, our tie is not the righteousness. Amen. Our garments are not the righteousness itself. It's what's inside. And so I want to tell you that I feel right at home this afternoon. Amen. I feel home. So I did put my jacket on. So y'all excuse me if I have to take it off. The idea behind what I was saying was a lot of times what preachers do, we kind of go to anniversaries, and sometimes we almost put pressure on the honoree. But I'm going to blatantly say right now, this is awesome. Please stand, Pastor Ford. Please stand. This man is sharp. I peeped the jacket, and I'm like, that's something I would throw on right there. He's sharp. Brother Smith, we agree, he's sharp. Okay. We peeped the jacket, so there was no competition, even if I did wear my suit. I'm just telling y'all, church, that your pastor is sharp, and he dresses sharp. We're going to leave it right there. Even his dressed-down sweatsuit is sharp. Amen. We met up at Starbucks, and I felt like going back home and putting something else on. I said, I got to get out of TJ Maxx and step it up a little bit. I had to get you, man. I had to get you. We thank God for the woman walking right beside him. You know us great preachers, I believe that behind every good dressing man is a good coordinator. Amen. Even if we knew how to dress before we met our wives, that extra influence helps. Amen, amen, amen. And truly, to this church, thank you all so much. Amen for the hospitality, the food, the fellowship, and the TV, although. Amen. Y'all pray for my Reverend Hill. He's not an Eagles fan. Amen. Y'all keep him in prayer. He's also a Lakers fan. Y'all keep him in. Amen. Where's the oil? That's my brother from another mother. So all the preachers in the house, please stand upon your feet. All the preachers. Amen. If you know you called to preach, you recognize Reverend, Pastor, Bishop, amen, whatever. Just give God a hand clap of praise for all of them in the house. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dive into this, and I don't mind y'all saying amen if I get carried away, because I'm having such a good time. I feel at home. And Pastor and First Lady, understand, last year we had an awesome time. And this church treated us so well. We had a very good time, and we got on out. We had a good time, right? We had a very good time, and we felt home. So you should be proud of your church family, and we thank you all. There is a word from the Lord on this afternoon. If you look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and while you're turning there, I don't want to miss this, and I want you as a church to encourage your youth. Amen. And I want to say to you, I am an experienced musician, and I'm going to throw this out here I don't have to qualify myself, but I am a Grammy Award winning producer. I'm just going to drop that. I'm doing this for a reason. I am a pew baby. I was born on August 29th. I got my Aunt Pam and a few other people that can vouch for it. I was born one Sunday, and I was in church the next Sunday. So let me just say, I'm kind of like Baptist, Kojic, Catholic, something, all of that. I've been through every denomination. I'm saying this because as a preacher's kid, my daddy bought an organ, paid a lot of money for it, and my mother looked at him like he was crazy when they came to deliver it. And he had a belief that, you know, if you want to buy anything and invest in anything, invest in something that gives glory to God. And so after a while, we weren't playing the organ in the house. My mother said, this is going to go, or somebody's going to start playing this thing. And they knew that I had a talent, a gift. And my father, what he did was he provided the opportunity. So I want to shout out your musicians and young people in this house. Amen. I ain't know he's coming like that on the drums. Amen. I was sitting there the whole time like, wow. I thought he was just rat-a-tat-tap at first, and he started playing. And to this young man about to be seated over near the organ now, please encourage his heart. Amen. Very humble young man. He always claims that I'm not really, you know, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, but we don't know yet what you will be. And so I want to encourage you. They used to tell me, don't let him touch that organ because they didn't know what I could do. And after years of going to certain churches that we started to prove what God was going to do. So you don't know what's in these children, so pray for the children. Amen. Sequoia, she grew up in church, and this morning she blessed my soul. She preached this morning. Amen. Amen. She preached this morning. And she sings to the glory of God. We cannot lose that with our children. We cannot lose it. It's a value, and especially in the world today, there's so much for the children to get caught up into. They can even get caught up in the sanctuary with iPhones and iPads and all of that stuff. But when they are active for the Lord, and if they don't see it, put your hand on them. Amen. And pray for them. And let the Lord have his way. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 24. Amen. Verse 24 in Hebrews chapter 11. Listen to the words that are in the text. I'm going to read it. Out of the NIV version of the Bible, just verses 24 through 27, it says these words, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord. I prayed about it, and the Lord showed me that he just saw fit that this simple message would bless you, Pastor, and everyone in this congregation. I want to talk to you for a few moments with this thought in mind, a strong finish. A strong, strong finish. A strong finish. One of the immediate disappointing things in this last hour is the fact that I happened to check my cell phone, Lord forgive me, and I realized that the score was 23-26. And the problem was is that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. For some reason, our Eagles didn't represent the fact that they ought to have a strong finish. You can play this whole game of life as best as you want, but what's going to be a problem, it really comes down to that fourth quarter. It comes down to when the clock is winding out on you. But the interesting thing about the clock is you cannot actually put a clock time on what God has in store for you. Some of y'all agree with me already. If this life were a game of football, you'd be all right because you can sit idle in quarter number one, quarter number two, kind of strengthening up the third, and you can anticipate the fourth quarter. The problem is in this life, the Bible lets us know that tomorrow is not promised to anyone. But we are also taught to be educated and taught, teach me to number my days. Are y'all talking to me? Which means you should be able to at least number your day. Some of us get so scared because we still trying to be young, and you don't realize I'm 40, 50, 60, and going on. But the Lord should have gotten into your head by now and into your heart. Teach me to number my days when I got saved. Because before I got saved, I just felt like somebody owed me tomorrow. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and understood that he died on the cross for my sins, and I understand the word of God said, just as we are born, it's appointed for a man to die. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We are like grass that withereth away. If that be the case, I need to be taught to number my days, know that tomorrow is not promised to me, and I need to be thinking about a strong finish in my now. There are some people who thought they had time, didn't get the time. There's some people who keep explaining and they keep complaining about the time, and after a while, time done going by and you sound the same as you did before. But if we're working on a strong finish now, these are words that we can learn from Hebrews to help us to understand how every day is relevant. Can I just share something with y'all, if I can just be myself for a minute? Listen, I was blessed by our master ceremony this afternoon. Because I'm sitting in the corner laughing and I'm saying, he's not theologically deep. He's not so scholarly over the top. He's just right, plain, and simple. And I had to go over and tap my Aunt Pam and I said, that man reminds me of the deacons of old. They didn't have to get too deep on you, but they had something simple if the Lord woke you up this morning. I think that's a reason to praise God. He started you on your way. I just think that's a reason to give God the glory. I kind of forget how they say it, but Lord, I thank you that my bed sheet wasn't my cooling board. Y'all know how they used to say it, my winding sheet, my cooling board. And you happy that the Lord woke you up to give you another day. That should always make us think about a strong finish. The book of Hebrews, it highlights for us in the 11th chapter a few MVPs from the Old Testament. But if we just look at just one person, that one person is Moses that helps us this afternoon. I want to highlight a few actions that we happen to gain from the text when we look at Moses and what produced out of him in faith in God in the middle of his trials. There's something about being in the middle of your trials. We may not look like it as preachers, but every day of pastoring, you are facing trials. Every day of ministry, you are facing some kind of trials. And there's just a few little things that can help you on your journey. Moses, in this chapter, you'll remember that he's introduced in this faith hall of fame as a child in verse 23. If you have your Bibles, just glance at verse 23. You'll notice that he's introduced to us as a child in verse 23. But the thing about Moses is that the parents that he grew up under, his parents knew, according to the text, that he was not an ordinary child. I believe that if y'all caught that, we could shout right here and I can sit down. The parents understood that he was no ordinary child. I tried to dig into this, Dr. Brian and Hill. I tried to dig into this to just find out, because some other texts, they said they saw that he was a beautiful child. But the King James Version kind of captures it good and says that they realized he was no ordinary child. But they knew that there was something special about him. In other words, before you realized your value, somebody before you already understood your value. That's why when we say we've come this far by faith, y'all remember them old songs? When we used to sing we come this far by faith, I looked at that as a present time. Because when I say we've come this far by faith, there's a present moment that we can look behind us and see how far we've come. But to say this far means that where I'm at is not where I used to be. And when I say this far, something makes me look ahead that if God brought me through this, he can bring me through that. And he can take me there, and then I'll be looking back over my life. When I get to the next place, I'm always in a present shout on what he's done in the past, what he's doing in the present, and what he's able to do in the future. So at the time, watch this here, they knew that he wasn't an ordinary child. I want to say to you, watch this here, Dr. Ford, before you saw the fact that you were blessed with a beautiful wife, watch this here, she saw that God saw something in you. And so I believe this in my own marriage, that when I met my wife, I know she was looking at me because I looked good when she met me. That was no doubt. I knew she was feeling me when she saw me, but I believe that her anointing saw something deeper on the inside.
that just wasn't, ooh, he looked so good, he looked so fine, I had hair when she met me. But she saw that even when the hair is gone, even if he's a little bit larger than he was when I met him, there's an anointing in his life. Y'all don't miss that here. I want y'all to laugh, but watch this here. Because we have to be able to see beyond what we see. And so even in his infancy, they saw he was no ordinary child. But watch this here. Now Moses is grown up. In this text, the writer jumps straight ahead, and he's grown up. And in this text, the Bible records for us what made him so special. Here's the Keith Tozer translation of what made him so special. And here's the success that we find when you need a strong finish. Here's what you need to know. First thing the text tells us, real quick, I'm going to drop this through this because I know y'all hot, y'all tired. Watch this here. You want to refuse the wrong identity. Listen closely. Tell your neighbor you want to refuse it. Refuse the wrong identity. It's right here in the text because in 11 and 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called, watch this here, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The people at that time identified him in a certain way, but he himself refused the wrong identity. By faith is the key. It says that when he became of age, he then refused to be called what they say, but he desired to be called what God said. Do you understand that some of us sitting around us, they're still struggling because they're beneath and they're under what other people say? Sometimes you got to wake up and say, wait a minute, I know what they call me. I know what the school called me. I know what my friends used to call me, but then there's who God calls me. I'm saying something to somebody right now. You ain't grown up yet until you start understanding and working on who God calls you to be. Because when you keep operating in what other people say that you are living beneath your privilege. You are living beneath where you ought to be at and where God has ordained for you to be at. Because for some people, I wasn't nothing but a little old bad preacher's kid. But when I started to refuse that identity, I seen God make moves in my life that I didn't even see coming. Y'all still missing me? There's somebody else up in here. You know your background ain't squeaky clean. And folk are still identifying you by an identity that you ought not to be identified by. You can say, baby, yes, that picture, that was me then. But this is who God called me to be right now. Touch somebody, say, refuse it, refuse it, refuse it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says this. It says, therefore, somebody say, therefore. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Let me help somebody here because you're still looking at me like, but you don't know what I did before. You don't know how bad my life was. The Bible says old things, which qualifies that it existed. But when it says it's passed away, that means, as James Moore would say, Pastor James Moore, Second Mount Zion, he says this, that when God forgives you, he casts your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. But watch this here, he says, but he puts up a sign that says no fishing allowed. Tell your neighbor, no fishing allowed. It's in the water, but no fishing allowed. You don't need to bring it up. If God knew you before you entered your mother's womb, then whatever and however people identify you, you will understand that it is subjective to your identity in Christ. However you still see me is still underneath who I am in Christ. Because there's a lot more in me than you have yet to see. Watch this here. If you understand something about your pastor, his wife, and other people around you, you must deal with this. When the Bible says that before I knew thee, I put you into your mother's womb. Watch this here. When God puts you in something, God has a way of doing what I said. He squeezes you into. Watch this here. Dr. Shaw from White Rock Baptist, he would say that context of that means, I heard this at Pastor Drink, so he said the context of that means that when God created you, his creation of you, he had to squeeze you into your mother's womb. I want y'all to catch this here. If he had to squeeze you into the womb, that suggests that if he took you, that means that he compressed you into the you that we see. Which means that every time the enemy punches you, every time evil bumps up against you, there's something that ruptures on the inside of you. Because when you hear all things work together for good, there's something about what God has put in you that when adversity comes, it starts to rupture in you. And when we say you don't even know what's in somebody, that means that if God squeezed you into the womb, I'm coming with something. That means that there's a lot to come out of you. Don't miss this here. If God squeezed you into it, on impact, it explodes. I want somebody to catch this here. If God squeezed you into it, there's something about when it hits, it explodes. And so in you, there's so much that people have not even yet experienced, because what God has placed in you, he's so magnificent that it'll come out over time. Okay, watch this here. There's a lot in you. There's something about squeezing you into that coming out of you, you cannot accept the wrong identity. The question is, how many of us are operating underneath a wrong identity? You got to stop blaming mama and daddy. You got to stop blaming the school teacher. But when you refuse the wrong identity, you are now ready to operate in what God called you to be. And it's leading to your strong finish. Watch this here. The second thing the text tells us is that you have to choose to suffer. Okay? Okay, your pastor talked about things that happened last year, and they were going through a trying time. It is hard when you lose people. It's hard when you're trying to be a father, a pastor, a businessman, a husband, and all of that at the same time. It gets rough sometimes, but there's a suffering that comes with our calling. And watch this here. People tell you that you will suffer, but there's a difference when you choose to suffer. See, I got the kind of mama that had a choice in suffering. She didn't just take the fact that reality says that you will go through hard times, but she chose to deal with certain hard things because she understood how God made her. I know I'm helping some others out in this house, but watch the text it says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction, here it is, with the people of God, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I'm going to another level here. Suffering happens, but sometimes you got to choose it. Notice that this is only possible for Moses because of his perspective on conviction. There is a perspective and conviction towards sin that Moses had. So he chooses to suffer affliction. Something about affliction you must know. Affliction is actually understood as something that causes us pain. In other words, it's not actually the pain itself, but the thing that causes the pain. I'm going somewhere with this. It's not the pain itself, but it's the thing that causes it. So sometimes it's my own folk who cause me pain. Sometimes it's people who are close to me who are causing the pain. But I'll deal with my folk who are in Christ. Not perfect, but in Christ. I'll deal with the affliction of my folk rather to enjoy running off in sin. You know what this sounds like? The reason why I don't go to church is because them people, they be talking bad about me. Well, they talk bad about you out in the street too. Y'all hold on, musicians. Watch this here. But the thing I want to help y'all to know, and can I say this for us preachers? I ain't standing here bragging, but I'm going to tell you, we got to understand the value in church. Whether saved or I don't know, maybe or maybe not, people still come to the church when it's time for loved ones to go home. I need some real saints who ain't scared to say amen, Reverend. They still need the cook who made them good grits and fish today for the repast. Y'all talk to me if you will. They still need that nasty old usher that was at the door that wouldn't give me a handkerchief nor a fan. They still need them in their time of need. But when you are faithful unto God, you ain't running out of church like a wimp. But you'll say, I'd rather suffer affliction in the house of worship rather than to be out in the street with people who aren't children of God. Pastor, I'm trying to help you out because once we refuse the wrong identity, we also got to choose to suffer. We have to be careful when we turn down or turn away from the church and go into the world. Because it just may be your assignment to hang in there to help make things better. Folk don't understand when you choose to suffer, it's about your strong finish. Can I jump across the field? Because when I'm ready to go home, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Done means that it's cooked. It's been through the fire. It's brown on the outside, but if you like steak like I like mine, ain't no red up on the inside. Y'all talk to me. Which means you need a well done, my good and faithful servant. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon, this old deacon saying right here, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they do not compare to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Shake your neighbor and say, there's glory to be revealed in you. That whatever you're going through right now, it don't have no comparison to what God has in store for you. I need y'all to shout on it for about 3 seconds. Whatever your problem is, whatever your affliction is, whatever your sickness is right now, it has no comparison. Listen, 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 tell somebody it's no comparison. Church, but watch this here. And I'm glad Reverend said about Instagram and Facebook and any gram that you got. Whatever gram, whatever book, whatever chat, snap, whatever you got, stop posting up your problems. You feel me, sir? I'm talking to the saints right now. Stop posting up your affliction. Start posting on the ability of God, and it'll clean up your friends list. Start posting up the ability of God, and it will clean out all the angst that you're friends with. Listen, if you get the identity right, and you choose Christian suffering, you'll understand how to deal with reproach. The reproach is right there in the text. I try to make this simple. In verse 26, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. There's something about the eyes of the saints. There's something about the eyes of the believers that should be different from the eyesight of the world. Dealing with stuff is hard sometimes. But the trick is to look ahead of where you are. There's a verb, and I try to pronounce this right. I'm not as studied as my niece and Dr. Brian, a few others that can pronounce these words, even my wife. But it's a pebleton. And this is the phrase that's in the Greek that it says about looking ahead. When you look ahead in that language, it lets you know, it indicates that Moses was looking ahead on the regular. It suggests that his sight was always ahead of where he was. This is how, even on a dreary Sunday, I don't know about y'all church, but our church and other churches, they get affected by the weather sometimes. The value of God waking me up in the morning, it don't matter if it's sleet, hail, snow, rain, storm, tsunami. The fact that God woke me up has the same value every day of the year. But for some saints, if God wakes you up on a rainy morning, the weather suggests that you ought to be depressed. You ought to have to kickstart praise and worship. You got to climb up the rough side of the mountain to praise God. But when the sun is shining, the Lord is worthy. I know y'all don't know no saints like that. Moses had this ability to look ahead of where he was. No matter what he faced, he had to look ahead. It didn't mean that he always understood what he was looking at. But he had a habit of looking ahead on this word. Watch this here. The right identity separated him from the earthly benefits of being connected to Pharaoh. He chose to suffer rather than to live in sin. The reproach here says that Moses regarded it. That's a big word, because when you regard it, that means you're looking at it and you hold value in it. So in other words, Moses regarded the criticism for being different. There's something about the reason why the love I feel in this church is because there's something different about your pastor than most other pastors. He didn't rehearse this line. He just spoke in the spirit. And the compliment Southern Baptist that we got is because I choose to be different. It's because my wife chooses to be different. Even if it causes folk to talk bad about you, you still got to choose to be different. Do you know what the difference is right now? The fact that you're still praising God in season and out of season. Because other people have done given up on the same God that brought your grandmama and grandpa up out of the muck and the miry clay. The same God who fed your little stomach. The same God who got you clothed and in your right mind. I believe it's the same God that I'm dealing with today that brought our seniors through, that brought us through hard times and tribulations. Same, somebody say, same God. So when I know what I've seen, I understand what I heard, and I know that times are different, but God is the same God. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. So therefore, if I got to be different and say God will make a way, I'd rather be different. Now watch the text here. Moses saw what others refused to see. Here's what he knew. He knew that the roots of Egypt reached back further than Egypt's history. This is going to bother some folk in church right here, because some people, and our saints used to be this way, their only religion is in that old singing deacon. Their only religion is in mama, and Lord called her home 20 years ago. Their only religion is in daddy. My father was called home in 2008, but I realized, and my daddy taught me this when he was teaching me about Joshua. He says, Moses, he read the scripture. Moses, my servant, is dead. The script that Moses had to follow was for him. Y'all about to put me out of here. But what Joshua had to do was for him. Same God. Both of them preachers, but what God had for him, he had something unique for the other one. Did not disqualify or hate on Moses, but it said, this is a new season. Watch what I realize right here. Moses saw what others refused to see. He understood that the roots of Egypt, it reached back further than the history of Egypt. So many people are caught up in the history of the church that they ain't into the roots of the church that it got from. See, the church, upon this rock, I will build my church. The rock said, upon this church, upon this rock, I will build my church. But that was the rock speaking to Peter, who said, upon this rock. And that same rock was put on a rock, in a rock, and came through a rock, and is my solid rock. So if I'm wrapped up in the church history without he who made his story and about his story, I'm going to lose sight of where I need to be. You cannot operate ministry caught up in the church's history. It has value, but don't forget that the roots, they reach back further than Egypt's history. So watch this here. It's called faith. Because Egypt's history and the future reach further. Watch this here. Everything that he understood reached further, that it took them forward beyond their expectations. And it's called faith. Because watch this here. One more verse I got to tell y'all this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, verse 18. Y'all remember this, preachers. You're going to love this here. And some people have already heard me say this. It says, for our light affliction and our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs everything that we've been facing. So it says we fix our eyes on things that are not seen, but on what is not seen. Watch this here. For what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So watch this here. Moses had the ability of Pelopon for looking beyond his situation in every circumstance. What it did was it helped him to operate, and as my t-shirt says, it says, my belief controls my behavior. The way I'm going to act towards my next circumstance, it depends on what I believe in spite of what I'm looking at. David had the ability to not be scared of the giant because his belief controlled his behavior. His belief was, I'm going to knock him out. Not because mama said knock you out, but because of the God that I serve. And because of who we are in Christ, why should I be scary of a giant? And so he stepped out on the battlefield and he said, you want to be starting something? He went right in and said, let's start it right now. And what he needed was in the valley, and the giant went down. Watch this here. You got to be able to see the battle won before you start the fight. You got to see the victory before you even get dirty. You got to wake up and say, what am I dealing with? You have the ability to see beyond what you're looking at. Watch this here. The context of that, young people in school, in biology, in different science classes, they have something called a microscope. They have something called a telescope. Understand this, a stethoscope, all these scopes, you understand these scopes. The word in this text in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18 is scopeo. Scopeo is the word from the Greek that we get the English word scope from. When we get scope, understand how it applies to your daily life. Tomorrow morning when you are dealing with a problem, I need you to pick up the scope. When you pick up the scope and you look at things in the eyes of faith, a telescope, you understand what it does. It takes something that's far away out of your reach, and it brings it right there in front of you. You're able to see something that you actually can't reach. But see, God has an ability that if what you are trying to reach is a planet far away, I believe that the power of God can shift some gravity and start to draw it in your direction. You are able to describe what you're looking at even though you can't touch it right now. It's your anniversary. Let me help you this. I had to learn to go pay a word for my own congregation. That's why we had another preacher preach, another woman preach, and we had my niece preach this morning. Because God told me about the microscopic ability in scopeo. Which means that if we look not on the things that are seen, but the things which are seen are temporal and all of that stuff. God showed me the scope of seeing, that a microscope helps you to see something that's right in front of your face. But until you look at it through the eyes of faith, you will not see it. Y'all missing where I'm going. We're looking for people to come into the church, and God says what you need is right here in the congregation. But if you look at it in the eyes of faith, you'll start using what you got to get what you want. So look at this here. It says, for he looked forward to the reward. Pastor, this is a shout, so you got to look forward to the reward. Because here's the thing, can I say this right here? Your faith is going to frustrate people. Let me try this again. Your faith is going to frustrate people. Because you understand conjunctions. We are troubled on every side. Yet, not distressed. We are perplexed. But not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. I hope that blessed somebody. I hope that confirms something in somebody's spirit. Somebody say there's a conjunction. Come on, say there's a conjunction. For whatever function you have in faith, there's a conjunction junction. What's your function? It's the Holy Ghost, baby. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm almost done here. I'm almost done here because conjunctions, they even work in time of trouble. They work in time of sorrow. It was hard for us knowing, and my wife and I, we prayed for y'all because we knew just in a short amount of time, sometimes you get people being called home and it seems like a domino effect. It's almost like a tsunami went through Southern Baptist Church and all the seniors I was looking for, they just, one by one, God just called them home. And it was troublesome to an extent, but I thank God for my brother, Reverend Hill, and I, because we pew babies, that's my big brother in Christ, and we were there underneath all the pastors and the old deacons and everything, and when God was calling them home, we kind of was like a deer in headlights, because we knew better, but it was just like, whoa, we didn't see this coming. But then I was at a going-home service, a pastor who lost his wife, Dr. Jones from Bible Way Baptist Church. Dr. Jones, he got up and he preached, and all the preachers in the house, preachers, y'all feel me, when it's going home services, a pastor's wife passed away, you kind of like, what is he going to preach? Y'all talk to me for real. We kind of like, you get what I'm saying? You like, ooh, Lord, help the man of God. What text is he going to come from? And we looked at him, and simply when he got up, he jumped into the book Romans. He said, and we know. He said, you may be seated in the presence of our Lord. Do y'all hear the conjunction? Even though I may have lost my loved one, even though times are hard, I have affliction, I have sickness, I have illness, there's a conjunction that says, and we know that all things work together. Y'all, some of y'all can't even feel what I'm saying. Because there's a problem in your life right now, but you got to be strong and say, and we know. It don't mean I'm not crying about it, but the thing is, and we know, as I wipe the tears from my weeping eyes, because weeping may endure for a night. And we know that joy comes in the morning. So here's what blesses us, and here's my takeaway. Lester, I held you too long. Watch this here. I gotta go home and mourn about the Eagles' loss. But watch this here. I gotta wrestle with that and pray for the next game. Listen here. Verse 27 says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He forsook Egypt, not fearing, not worried about the wrath of the authority. He left Egypt not worrying about and fearing what's the consequences of my faithful choice is going to be. He forsook Egypt, not concerned about the backlash of what I'm doing going forward in faith. He forsook Egypt, not being concerned about what my friends and family going to say about my choices that I make. And so there are many in the household of faith. Here's what I need you to know. You got to dismiss the ties of your past. Now, I'm only looking for about 10 amens. But you got to dismiss the ties of your past. Tie is a word that has you bound to a past that exists. No matter how good it was for everybody else, you cannot be constrained to your past because time moves. There are many who are sitting in our pews right now in the household of faith who are internally incarcerated by their past. I don't mean just stuck with the emergency brake on in the 70s and 80s. I mean incarcerated. Solitary confinement to their past. The NIV points out the fear of what the king felt back then. If the king had a problem, it meant a great problem for you. But because Moses knew who the real king was, he said, I ain't worried about what y'all got to say. The assignment on my life is not to be in fear of what the authority says. Y'all do know the authority ain't always outside of the four walls of the church. But sometimes there's a political authority on the inside of the church. Y'all ever heard of scribes and Pharisees? But watch this here. He had to dismiss the ties of his past. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Persevere is to continue in a course of action. Watch this. Even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of success. Even though I don't know exactly what the outcome is going to be of this faithful move, I'm still going to continue in the path that God showed me. Some people can't start until they see the end. But everything, God ain't going to show you the picture of the end, but he's going to show you where to start at. When he shows you where to start, you got to have the faith to walk in the path. Even though I don't know what it's going to look like next year, I believe that the direction that God got me in is going the right way. I cannot answer why we telling the youth to show up for this prayer service, but it's the path that God showed me, and I need to walk in it. Because God knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for the church. He knows what's best for your family, and I got to dismiss the ties. Okay, let me see if I can make some friends in the house. He persevered. And that means to continue even though the success, I can't prove it to you. All I can do is keep giving you faith word upon faith word. And the faith word upon faith word is our facts, and it's not alternative facts. Touch your neighbor and say, God don't need alternative facts. God said it, I believe it, I'm going to take him at his word. We don't need no alternative facts in our sanctuary. All we need is the word of God says, and I believe it. So for the rest of y'all who understood the rap group called The Roots, and bless me in something I need to bless you with, Pastor. One of my favorite rappers, Black Fort, He had this line that he would say, and we used to club on this and we loved it. It grew was so hot, but it's when he would say, I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. The hook says, I shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. That's before I got saved. But because the rhythm is still in me, because I plan on having a strong finish in my faith, I shall. Put me in A flat if you can. I shall proceed and continue to preach the word. I shall proceed and continue to keep on praying. I shall proceed and continue to call on the name of Jesus. I shall proceed and continue to sing his praise. I shall proceed and continue to keep the faith. I shall proceed and continue to love my neighbors. I shall proceed and continue to give God praise. I shall proceed and continue to pray for the saints. I shall proceed and continue. Listen, I've come too far to turn around now. I believe that a strong finish is so necessary. Watch this here. In my closing, I'll tell y'all this. This is about a strong finish. A strong finish for Moses was not because he was all by himself. Listen closely. To all my bikers in the house, and I got a relationship with these bikers in the house, we cycle. In cycling, you understand something. It's amazing that Pastor Ford asked me today. He said, do you ride with groups sometimes? And I said, yeah, every now and again, I ride with groups. I said, the advantage about riding with the group is you actually can have a stronger finish. Listen closely here. The idea in cycling, when you are out cycling all by yourself, you are exerting energy and you are fighting against the wind all by yourself. You are fighting against the environment all by yourself. There's times when you have to get from A to B. And when we see a person struggling and there's a pack of us, what we do is we ride up on the rider and we say, where are you going? And they'll say something like, I'm leaving from Philly and I'm going up to King of Prussia on this little road here. They're half tired. They ran out of energy. And we say, listen, what we need you to do is you can catch our wheel. Watch this here. So what they do is they mix in the pack of people. And what it is there's a front line of people there that are riding that allow the lone pastor to sit in. But then you get another group of people that come in front of them when those folk get tired. When they get tired, another set takes the front and they start to fight the wind. The whole time, the one who you are setting up for the strong finish, their objective is to stay in the middle. Their objective is to stay behind while other people are on the front line for them fighting the wind. There's a selflessness that happens in all of these people because you need strong people up front to make the wind go to the side. When you got strong people in your ministry, they will ride the front line, take the beating of the wind while you sit on their wheel. And see, then when you get close enough to the finish line, we do a thing where you wing the arm over here, and that means it's your turn to come in front. Understand that all the time, the pack, the rider, is there taking their energy and storing it up. And then the beauty in the people who are on the front line is that they did the work, but they helped somebody get in front to have their strong finish. Now catch this here. The objective of the man that's going to win the race is not to go in slow, but there's a point that when we get too close enough to your finish, we say, I need you to switch gears now. And I need you to give it all that you got. So that when you get near the end, you can say it like Paul. I ran my race. I finished my course. And now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody say strong finish. I need to make sure that I have a strong finish. We cannot forget that we have to choose to suffer sometimes. We gotta refuse the wrong identity. We gotta negate what the authority says in faith. And the thing is, at the end of it all, God has a reward for us. And if we look there, we can finish strong. If we look right now, today is the first day of the rest of your life. I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to even seniors. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. There's something that you have that's incomplete, but you need to have a strong finish, a strong finish. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you on this afternoon, Lord God. We thank you for allowing your servant Moses to be a highlight on today, notwithstanding the cross, because we thank you for your son Jesus, who had a strong finish, but it would be rude to say he is finished. He said it is finished. But because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and the Word forever and now and ever, ever shall be. The Word is eternal. You are eternal. There is no finish, because there's no beginning, no end. You are God. Because in our beginning, you already was. And so for that reason, God, we bless your name and we praise you. But God, you have given us an assignment. There is a finish for us, and then there's glory. There's eternity, God. But we thank you right now by faith that we can live our eternity in now. In this, that on earth as it is in heaven, the power that you've given us, God, the power that you place in us to walk by faith and not by sight, we thank you for it. Father, I pray that under the sound of my weak voice today, that you bless us all, that we will continue to walk in faith as others have, Lord God, as others who are mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame, that we will finish our course well, that we will have a strong finish. So even in this now, Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what tomorrow is going to bring. But Lord God, we are careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, our requests are made known unto you. And we know that the peace of God that passeth all understanding is going to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And so for that, Lord God, with our minds stayed on you, we thank you, Lord God, that you are renewing mercies every morning. Every day that we wake up, it's new mercies that we see. So, God, we thank you for everything that you brought us over. And then when we testify and say, when I look back over my life and think things over, it challenges me, as the old hymn would say, count your blessings and name them one by one. God, I must admit, I'll be forever trying to count them. And so I wrap it all up in a general thank you. A thank you that just keeps going, because every day, Lord God, I just thank you. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for this 9th anniversary. And God, we thank you for many more to come. We thank you, Lord God, that you have something in store for the manservant of this house, God, that eyes have not seen and ears have not even heard. We thank you, Lord God, for his family, his children, his wife, Lord God. We pray that you strengthen them on every lean and side, Lord God. Let this neighborhood understand who you are. It's not about the church, but it's about who you are in this church. So, God, we thank you, and we thank you for this congregation and these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.